This past week, the U.S. Supreme Court heard a case involving President Biden's plan for student loan forgiveness. While many look at the surface, at least, of this idea and consider it to be a great thing, is that factually so? Do the details and the mechanics reveal a different story? Does this plan actually address the issue of the high cost of college? Is this act by the executive branch even illegal under the U.S. Constitution? Joining us to discuss this is the president of the Job Creators Network Foundation, who brought this case to the various courts, ending up now with the U.S. Supreme Court. We say good morning to Elaine Parker. How are you today, Elaine?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Learn more about the Job Creators Network Foundation, more specifically this case. We've also put the PDF of the filing over at our downloads page, but you can also find it at jcnf.org. I guess first things first, because the name of your organization is Job Creators Network Foundation. How did your organization become connected with this issue and this court case?
Well, I mean, aside from it just being the right thing to do, this was just such an extreme overreach for the federal government. And we've certainly pushed back in the past on overreach. We also filed suit against the administration when they tried to enact the illegal vaccine mandate for businesses. And took that to the Supreme Court as well. So we've been here before. We definitely have pushed back on government overreach. But there's also an extreme issue on, you know, our individuals in this country, as well as our small businesses, have been suffering under inflation, extreme inflation, and to feed another $400 billion program into our economy is just going to throw more, more gasoline on the inflationary fire.
For you listening, just to get a better idea of what we're talking about here, the plan calls for forgiveness of up to $20,000 in student loan debt per borrower earning less than $125,000 per year, $250,000 per household. It would forgive loans by best estimate for around 40 million borrowers, with as many as 20 million of those getting the remainder of the student loan balance forgiven. All told, according to the Congressional Budget Office, this bailout, which is exactly what it is, would cost you as a taxpayer around $400 billion. Now, Elaine, I've been looking at the federal budget over the last few weeks just to get a reference. That's $400 billion we kind of don't have right now.
Well, it's not even an issue of having it. I mean, this number is bigger than it's at least as big as all of the stimulus checks that were sent out during the pandemic. It's twice the size of the U.S. Air Force budget. It's more than what we spend in Medicaid. I mean, the size of this is enormous, and we pushed back on this, and we believe that, not only did the federal government and the Biden administration go into a back room and arbitrarily come up with a rule without consulting the American public, which they're statutorily required to do under the Administrative Procedures Act, they denied every American their chance to be heard through that process. But we also believe that they simply don't have the authority to do this under the HEROES Act. And frankly, a lower court in Texas back in November found in our favor and vacated this entire program, and he ruled that this was the largest exercise of executive authority without any congressional input in the history of the country. That's how bad this program is and how this government has overstepped. And here's the kicker on top of everything else I've said. It doesn't solve the problem of runaway college tuition. It's these colleges and universities that continue raising their tuition every year far past the cost of inflation, and they're sitting on $700 billion in untaxed endowments, and they need to be held accountable. And that's what we're asking the president to do to actually solve the problem, is bring these colleges in and ask them how they're going to solve the crisis that they've caused.
Elaine mentioned the HEROES Act. That's the Higher Education Relief Opportunities for Students Act. It says the government can provide relief to recipients of student loans when there is a quote-unquote national emergency, allowing it to act to ensure people are not in a worse position financially as a result of the emergency. Now, you can make the argument, I guess, during the pandemic, this language would have applied into the act that's currently being proposed, but where's the justification now?
There is no justification, and frankly, it's embarrassing that the administration is using this act. It was created to defer payments for our men and women who were overseas fighting after 9/11. It went into law in 2003, and frankly, if you look at the amicus briefs that were filed, there was one filed by a group of lawmakers who actually passed this act in 2003. It includes former Speaker John Boehner. And they stated that in no way does this legislation grant the executive branch such broad forgiveness power. Five former secretaries of education weighed in on this, stating exactly the same thing. This president called the pandemic over last May, and then in August announced this program right before a midterm election in order to buy votes. That's what this was about. And he didn't want to go through the statutorily required process, which requires notice and comment and allowing the American people to weigh in on this program, because he wanted to buy votes and he wanted to bypass the American people and he wanted to bypass Congress. And that's not what we're made up of. Other than that, if this goes through, this will give every future president a blank check, and it will signal to to colleges and universities that they can just continue increasing their tuition as much as they want.
I was confused listening to the arguments, because you had few of the justices are more on the conservative side, obviously, not really questioning standing in this case, although Amy Coney Barrett sort of drifted to that way. But it was, I believe it was Justice Kavanaugh who, when referring to the HEROES Act, says it's too vague to be applied in this situation.
Well, obviously, we certainly agree with him. And I wouldn't begin to characterize what the justices' questions meant. We were very happy with our lawyers' arguments. We were happy with the back-and-forth dialogue from all of the justices. We think we have a very strong case. We've won in two lower courts. At the district court and the Fifth Circuit upheld the lower court's decision, and we certainly hope that the Supreme Court will agree with those lower courts.
Starting with Lane Parker, president of the Job Creators Network Foundation, jcnf.org is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Now, granted, I mean, the economic times are what they are. They're not super wonderful and terrific for everybody, but doesn't personal responsibility come into play here? If you're having problems with making any kind of loan payment, there's a great little concept known as refinancing that could probably ease your burden to some degree.
Absolutely. I mean, there's certainly the fairness factor that you can talk about. I mean, there's the issue of, you know, should a West Virginia truck driver in West Virginia be paying for the college debt of an art major in California, you know, or what about the people who paid off their loans, or the people who decided not to go to college and they started a business and they have a business loan that they're dealing with? You know, there's all of that as well. But if you just look at what is the root cause of what's happening, it's these colleges and universities that need to be held to account. And if this debt is forgiven, this $400 billion for these 40 million people, and we haven't solved the problem or even attempted to address it, what about the next 40 million people and the next 40 million people? The crisis will continue to grow, and so will the college tuition, and so will the loans.
And the colleges seem to be skirting it. If I mentioned responsibility, they seem to be able to skirt any responsibility. And when you look at some of these universities, too, with the money that they're sitting on and the additional money they receive, for example, for their sports programs, Rutgers University has been a shining example of that over the past few years, where their sports programs are receiving a huge amount of money. And it makes me wonder how many of the students in that campus are going to have, should this come to pass, part of their student loan forgiven as the university's bank account continues to grow and grow and grow.
Absolutely, absolutely. And frankly, we're all supplementing these universities because they are tax-free, and they grow their endowments tax-free, and they raise their tuition for the last two decades. They have raised inflation at twice the rate of raised their tuition at twice the rate of inflation. All of that, and they're not being held to account at all. They're not even part of the conversation, not even brought to the table to discuss. I mean, it's disgusting. The American people should absolutely be calling on the federal government to call these heads of colleges in, the heads of top 20 colleges in, and ask them, why are you doing this? Why are you paying an army administrators hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars a year, coaches millions of dollars a year? You're building Taj Mahal resort-style amenities on your campuses, all on the backs of these kids. And then you're creating college programs that, frankly, don't provide the ROI that's needed to pay back these tens of thousands of dollars in loans. And there's no checks and balances on these colleges.
And there was just a study released, too, a few days ago that these universities, these centers of higher education, higher learning, aren't really preparing these individuals for the real world, because I don't remember the source of the survey, but it was basically showing an increasing number of new arrivals in the work environment to be suffering from anxiety because, well, Robin Williams used to have a joke, reality, what a concept. Well, they're finding out reality isn't what their concept was.
Yeah, love Rob Williams. Exactly. Reality can be a big wake-up call for sure for everybody. But one more point to make is minorities are disproportionately hurt by the price gouging of these colleges and universities. And they really should support us getting to the root of the cause of the problem. Some of these minority organizations like the NAACP was out in front of the Supreme Court steps on Tuesday, protesting. And I think is you're not even protecting the very people that you claim to want to help, because under the guise of increased access to higher education, colleges prey on minority families who desperately want better life for their children. Black degree holders carry an average student loan of $52,000. It is the highest among any race. And 4 years after they graduate, black students hold nearly double the debt as their white counterparts. That's not because of racism or anything like that. That's because colleges and universities are price gouging these students. And historically, black colleges saddle their students with some of the highest balances. Where are we? When are we going to call these colleges into account?
As Elaine said, there were some rants out in front of the Supreme Court. But the truth is, short-term rants do not provide long-term solutions. But hopefully this can bring things back to some sort of reality. The Supreme Court's expected to rule on this case, by the way, this coming June. Learn more about the Job Creators Network Foundation. This case in specifics, jcnf.org is their website. She is their president of the Job Creators Network Foundation, Elaine Parker. Elaine, thanks for being here today.
Thank you.